envision this. You are seeing a 32-year-old woman for her routine prenatal care. You notice in the chart that your patient is at 34 weeks gestation and that she has no pre-existing illnesses. Her pregnancy up until this point has been uncomplicated. As you review her check-in data, you observe that her blood pressure is 146 over 96 millimeters per mercury, and her urinalysis reveals 2+ proteinuria. You approach the patient to see how she's been feeling. She reports, "Things seem to be going pretty well. I'm just looking forward to having this baby and starting a new chapter in my life. But you look concerned. Is something wrong?" Welcome to Audio Bricks. This is Ed Barnes, breaking down hypertension and pregnancy in your ears. After completing this section, you will be able to 1. Explain why it is important to detect and treat hypertension during pregnancy. 2. Describe the difference between chronic and gestational hypertension. 3. Describe the symptoms, treatment, and potential complications of preeclampsia to include eclampsia and HELLP syndrome. Part 1. What is hypertension in pregnancy? When an embryo implants, pregnancy has begun. Although pregnancy begins with the reproductive system, it transforms the entire body. The effects on the cardiovascular system are arguably the most significant, since the heart must pump blood carrying nutrients to the developing fetus. Hypertension, or high blood pressure, affects about a third of adults, making it a very prevalent condition. Having high blood pressure is generally an asymptomatic silent condition, unless it's very severe. Without symptoms, the condition is likely to go undetected and thus untreated. Coupling untreated hypertension with pregnancy can lead to disastrous outcomes for both the mother and the baby, which makes it vital to closely monitor the mother's blood pressure throughout the entire pregnancy. So how do we diagnose hypertension in pregnancy? Blood pressure does not normally change much during pregnancy. The increase in blood volume and cardiac output are balanced by vasodilation, which leads to a decreased peripheral resistance. So we use the same normal cutoff values that we use for non-pregnant patients, which means we define clinically significant hypertension as anything greater than 140 over 90 millimeters of mercury. As in non-pregnant patients, the degree of hypertension determines the response. For example, blood pressures over 160 millimeters per mercury systolic always require urgent drug intervention. Let's stop here to answer a quick review question. What is the threshold value for clinically significant hypertension in pregnancy? Blood pressure of 140 over 90 millimeters per mercury during pregnancy represents clinically significant hypertension, as it does in non-pregnant patients. Now, what are some of the problems associated with hypertension in pregnancy? Well, hypertension increases the risk of developing other conditions, such as heart attack, a stroke, or kidney disease. During pregnancy, hypertension poses a great risk to patient and fetus. In fact, hypertension is the second leading cause of maternal death worldwide, coming in second only to pregnancy-associated bleeding. In the United States, hypertension is the leading cause of maternal death. Gestational hypertension may affect the fetus's development because the fetus requires adequate blood flow to receive oxygen and nutrients. If left untreated, hypertension during pregnancy can lead to several conditions, such as 1. Fetal growth restriction, 2. Preeclampsia, which is also a cause of hypertension as we'll see, 3. Preterm delivery, 4. Cesarean delivery, 5. Placental abruption. In placental abruption, the placenta detaches from the uterus before the baby has been delivered. The placenta can be partially or completely detached, both of which can lead to vaginal bleeding and abdominal pain. Think of it as placenta abruptly detaching. Placental abruption carries a high risk of fatality for both the mother and the baby, so prompt treatment via stabilization of the mother's condition and delivery of the baby is necessary. All of the pregnancy complications caused by hypertension may be fatal for both the patient and the fetus, which makes it imperative that pregnant patients with hypertension be diagnosed and closely monitored. Part 2. Chronic hypertension versus gestational hypertension. Individuals who already have hypertension can obviously get pregnant too, but there are several distinct hypertensive disorders that can also occur due to pregnancy. These include gestational hypertension, preeclampsia, eclampsia, and HELLP syndrome. We'll come back to these in a bit. When a pregnant woman has hypertension, the first step in providing prenatal care is determining whether the hypertension preceded the pregnancy, which is called chronic hypertension, or developed as a result of it, also known as gestational hypertension. Chronic hypertension is high blood pressure that is pre-existing or found prior to 20 weeks gestation, whereas gestational hypertension is high blood pressure that develops only after 20 weeks gestation. The main reason to distinguish these conditions is that gestational hypertension may be caused by one of the serious conditions we mentioned earlier, so you should look for them. If they are absent, chronic hypertension during pregnancy and gestational hypertension are treated the same. Unfortunately, it may be impossible to tell the difference in women without access to care depending on when they present. Let's try another quick quiz question. What is the difference between chronic and gestational hypertension in a pregnant patient? Chronic hypertension is high blood pressure that is pre-existing or found prior to 20 weeks gestation, where gestational hypertension is high blood pressure that develops only after 20 weeks gestation. Okay, so how do we treat gestational hypertension? Before we get into the specifics of each condition, let's talk about the management of hypertension in pregnancy in general. Pharmacotherapy is reserved for severe hypertension. In patients with blood pressures exceeding 160 over 110 millimeters per mercury, otherwise, patients are monitored with close trending of their blood pressure values. What are the most important things to look out for? Watch for signs of preeclampsia, like proteinuria, eclampsia, look for seizures, or HELLP syndrome. As in any patient, look for signs of end organ dysfunction that can suggest emergent hypertension. For example, abnormalities on an electrocardiogram, renal failure, or evidence of stroke. There are several drugs used to treat non-pregnant patients with hypertension that are dangerous to the fetus, specifically angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitors or ACE inhibitors and thiazide diuretics. Therefore, the preferred medications for lowering blood pressure during pregnancy are hydralazine, methyldopa, labetalol, and nifedipine. Here's a quick tip on how to remember the drugs that are safe during pregnancy. Hypertensive mothers love nifedipine. The H is for hydralazine, the M is for methyldopa, the L is for labetalol, the N is still for nifedipine. Let's do another quiz question. What are the preferred medications for treating hypertension during pregnancy? The hypertension medications of choice for pregnant women are hydralazine, methyldopa, labetalol, and nifedipine. Part 3. What is preeclampsia? Preeclampsia is a form of gestational hypertension associated with blood vessel endothelial dysfunction, usually causing proteinuria as a result of small vessel disease in the kidneys. It occurs in about 2 to 6% of pregnancies in the United States. The risk factors for preeclampsia include factors that are associated with the mother's medical history, such as chronic hypertension, advanced maternal age greater than the age of 35, and pre-existing medical conditions such as diabetes, hypertension, or kidney disease. The mother's gestational history should also be considered when assessing risk for preeclampsia. For example, mothers during their first pregnancy and all mothers with multiple gestation pregnancies are at higher risk. Prior complications with pregnancy, like a history of preeclampsia or pregnancy complications such as fetal growth restriction, placental abruption, or intrauterine fetal demise, also put these mothers into a higher risk category. And finally, If the mother has a family history of preeclampsia, she is at a higher risk to experience it herself. The potential complications that can arise from untreated preeclampsia are the same as those associated with any form of gestational hypertension, with one serious exception. Preeclampsia can progress to eclampsia, a disorder we will discuss a little bit later. So, how do patients with preeclampsia present clinically? Preeclampsia can be diagnosed in a pregnant patient beyond 20 weeks gestation if her blood pressure is found to be greater than 140 over 90 millimeters per mercury on two separate occasions with accompanying proteinuria or signs of end organ dysfunction. Proteinuria is exactly what it sounds like, protein in the urine, and the presence of more than 300 milligrams in urine collected over a 24-hour period may indicate preeclampsia. Patients with preeclampsia are often asymptomatic, as are most patients with high blood pressure, but they can present with a headache, an altered mental status, or difficulty breathing. Take note, it is important to get a good history. Patients with diabetes or kidney disease may have proteinuria that predates their pregnancy. Pregnancy sometimes worsens underlying proteinuria due to other diseases and conditions. What is the etiology of preeclampsia, you may be asking? The actual cause of preeclampsia is unknown, but its development is likely set off by insufficient blood flow between the patient and the fetus via the placenta. The disorder is associated with shallow cytotrophoblast invasion of the placenta. The cytotrophoblasts are proliferative, stem-like cells. When these cells exhibit a shallow invasion of the placenta, it reduces the remodeling of the spiral arteries, which are the main arteries supplying blood to the fetus. These non-remodeled, intact spiral arteries still have a responsive muscular wall called the tunica media. This responsive muscular layer remains vasoconstrictive. That can lead to reduced blood flow to the placenta. This reduced blood flow contributes to oxidative stress and hypoxia in the placenta. Placental hypoxia triggers a release of molecules that can lead to endothelial cell dysfunction. Abnormalities of the vascular endothelial cells that can cause inflammation, vasoconstriction, and a decreased blood flow to the fetus. This also involves the generation of reactive oxygen species and release of inflammatory mediators like cytokines. One consequence may be the abnormal glomerular blood flow that leads to proteinuria. And before we move on, how do we treat preeclampsia? Once the diagnosis of preeclampsia has been established, treatment differs according to gestational age. Delivery of the baby is recommended for patients who have reached 37 gestational weeks, and close monitoring with frequent maternal and fetal assessments is recommended for everyone else. Antihypertensive medication is initiated only if the patient's blood pressure exceeds 160 over 110 millimeters per mercury. Let's try another quiz question. What is the treatment for preeclampsia? For patients who have reached 37 gestational weeks, delivery is recommended. Close monitoring with frequent maternal and fetal assessments is recommended for patients at fewer than 37 weeks gestation. If blood pressure exceeds 160 over 110 millimeters per mercury, antihypertensive medication is indicated. Part 4. What is eclampsia? Now, let's talk about what happens when preeclampsia progresses to eclampsia. Eclampsia is similar to preeclampsia, but it is complicated by seizures. It usually occurs after the 20th week, most often in the third trimester. Proteinuria is seen as in preeclampsia, but it can be absent in some patients. Eclampsia is much less common than preeclampsia. It is seen in 8 to 10 cases per 10,000 births, so about 0.1%. Complications can include acute kidney injury as well as transient neurologic symptoms such as vision loss. The reason that generalized tonic-clonic seizures occur is unknown, but hypertension and endothelial cell dysfunction are implicated, as in preeclampsia. The definitive treatment for eclampsia is delivery. The most crucial step here is to target the underlying cause, which is the pregnancy. But because eclampsia is more serious than preeclampsia, you should deliver the fetus as early as 34 weeks, not 37. Otherwise, eclampsia has the potential to cause intracerebral hemorrhage, temporary blindness, or cardiopulmonary arrest in the mother, and it can lead to intrauterine asphyxiation in the fetus. Magnesium sulfate is used to prevent additional seizures. How about another quick quiz question? What is the drug of choice for seizure prophylaxis in patients with preeclampsia? Magnesium sulfate is a drug of choice to prevent seizures and eclampsia. Part 5. What is HELLP syndrome? HELLP syndrome, which can also be considered a severe form of preeclampsia, is seen in 10% to 15% of patients that develop preeclampsia, but in only 0.1% to 0.6% of all pregnancies. It manifests with varied signs of endothelial cell dysfunction. HELLP is an acronym that describes the components of the disease. H is for hemolysis, the destruction of red blood cells. E and L is for elevated liver enzymes. They become elevated when hepatocytes, the cells that make up the liver, are undergoing necrosis as part of endothelial damage. The second L and the P is for low platelets, a result of platelets being destroyed by the inflammation and obstruction within the damaged blood vessels. Here's a quick review question. What are the components of HELLP syndrome? HELLP syndrome comprises hemolysis, elevated liver enzymes, and low platelets. So, how do patients with HELLP syndrome present? As with preeclampsia, many patients with HELLP syndrome are mostly asymptomatic. When symptoms do occur, they can include right upper quadrant abdominal pain and tenderness, nausea, vomiting, and headache. On physical exam, hypertension is present in most cases, but a peculiar aspect of HELLP syndrome is that it is not necessarily associated with hypertension. Every other disorder mentioned so far has had elevated blood pressure as an absolute requirement, but HELLP syndrome has been documented in patients with normal blood pressure. That being said, HELLP syndrome is still more likely to occur if a patient has a history of hypertension. Laboratory test results may show anemia caused by hemolysis. These hemolyzed red cells are unusually shaped on peripheral smear. These RBCs fragmented by hemolysis are also called schistocytes and can appear triangular, helmet-shaped, or comma-shaped with pointed edges. Other common lab findings include increased transaminase liver enzymes. There are some serious complications of HELLP syndrome, and they can include placental abruption, acute kidney failure, pulmonary edema, hematoma of the liver, and disseminated intravascular coagulation, or DIC. DIC is a serious condition caused by the systemic activation of the coagulation cascade, resulting in widespread deposition of clots throughout the body. This causes ischemic organ damage like strokes, kidney, or liver failure. It can also lead to profuse bleeding due to the widespread consumption of coagulation factors. Other causes of DIC are sepsis and other serious illnesses. The exact mechanism of HELLP syndrome is once again unclear, but endothelial dysfunction triggered by an abnormal placenta is suspected, just as with preeclampsia. So, what is the treatment for HELLP syndrome? Delivery is the definitive treatment for any patient with HELLP syndrome. And just as with eclampsia, you should deliver the fetus as early as 34 weeks gestational age. Platelet transfusion is done in patients with active bleeding to address the thrombocytopenia seen in this disorder. And that brings us to the end of our discussion on hypertension in pregnancy. Now, let's recap to see if we've completed our goals. First, can you name three serious conditions that can occur due to untreated hypertension during pregnancy? It is important to monitor the mother's blood pressure throughout the entire pregnancy to avoid serious conditions like fetal growth restriction, preeclampsia, and placental abruption. Second, can you describe the difference between chronic and gestational hypertension? Chronic hypertension is defined as blood pressure that is greater than 140 over 90 millimeters per mercury that occurs prior to 20 weeks gestation, while gestational hypertension has the same blood pressure values that presents after 20 weeks gestation. Third, and finally, can you describe the symptoms, treatment, and potential complications of preeclampsia? Preeclampsia is a disorder in pregnancy where the mother presents with high blood pressure and proteinuria. Delivery is the treatment of choice if the mother is 37 weeks or greater gestation. If the gestation is less than 37 weeks, close monitoring, consideration of preterm delivery, and possible administration of magnesium sulfate to prevent seizures are included as treatment options. Potential complications of preeclampsia is progression to eclampsia or HELLP syndrome. Recall that eclampsia is a disorder that includes the features of preeclampsia, hypertension, and proteinuria with the addition of new onset seizures, and that HELLP syndrome is an acronym that stands for hemolysis, elevated liver enzymes, and low platelets. Both of these complications are an emergency and require immediate delivery of the fetus as the definitive treatment. And that's it. Armed with your newfound knowledge of hypertension and pregnancy, let's get back to the patient from the beginning of this episode. You are seeing a 32-year-old woman for her routine prenatal care. She is currently at 34 weeks gestation and she has had no prior medical problems. Her pregnancy up until this point has been uncomplicated, but today you notice her blood pressure is elevated with a value of 146 over 96 millimeters per mercury and her urinalysis reveals 2 plus proteinuria. She notices the concern on your face and she asks, "Is there something wrong?" You are concerned that your patient has developed preeclampsia because of her elevated blood pressure and her proteinuria. You order a CBC and liver enzymes. The results reveal a low hemoglobin, low platelets, and elevated liver enzymes. The peripheral smear reports numerous schistocytes. You now refine your diagnosis to HELLP syndrome, an obstetric emergency. You explain to your patient that HELLP syndrome is caused by damage to cells that line the blood vessels, and that even though she is only at 34 weeks gestation, this is a medical emergency, and that she needs to be admitted to the hospital to undergo the immediate delivery of the baby. Your patient responds, "Well, I didn't expect this to happen on a routine visit. Is everything going to be okay?" You reassure her that they will do all that they can to keep her and baby safe. She undergoes a cesarean delivery that evening, and a healthy baby boy is delivered with Apgar scores of 6 out of 7. 3 days later, her lab abnormalities resolve and her blood pressure normalizes. And that's it for our show. Make sure to like and subscribe if you like what you hear, and remember, your feedback helps us improve. You can enjoy the full BRIC experience online at www.usmle-rx.com, complete with illustrations, questions, flashcards, and active learning. So go check that out if you haven't already. Until next time.